Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we heard about Da Crusher, a Milwaukee pro wrestling legend whose statue will be unveiled in June.
Another Milwaukee native, Chris Malterer, known professionally as Chris Curtis, also made a name for himself in the world of pro wrestling. He spent more than 25 years in the ring, competing largely in the Midwest against some well-known opponents, including national names like Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura.
I spoke with Malterer in 2014. At the time, he'd been retired for about a decade, but he had recently written a book about his time in the ring. Job Man, My 25 Years in Professional Wrestling was co-written by local author Larry Wyden. Malterer began our conversation with defining the term job man.
That's a wrestling term that's used throughout the business. And so that's what we did. We went out, we did a job for a guy and put him over, made him look good. And you don't make yourself look good, you make him look good. Although in the process of doing all that, we make ourselves look like we're professionals too.
Well, but you were a professional.
Correct, yes. And we're out there to make wrestling look believable, even though it's not. And so when I was in the ring, I made sure that when I was doing my job, making the star look good, I made sure everything was crisp. It was tight and
that the audience bought it.
Right. That's the biggest thing. You have to make sure that the audience bought it, because if something was off a little bit, and it happens, they catch on real quick. And so you have to sometimes ad lib, and you know, it's, you're on the spot. There's no do-overs out there. So, yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about that kind of agreement that the audience has with professional wrestling. I mean, people know, on some level, I think that it's, I don't want to say not real, because you're actually out there doing things and right. You're making it work, but you're not fighting to the death, literally.
Correct. We're out there basically working a play. That's what we're doing. There's two athletes that are working a play, and there's the start of the play, there's the middle of the play, and then there's the finish, the ending of the play. But while we're out there, you have to make sure you keep those people guessing, even though there's people out there that say, well, no, this is not on the up and up. It's not on the level. You still keep them guessing. And that's why you go all out, but you're not out there to hurt your opponent. So,
right. What I like about it is that it's very much theater.
Correct. And if we were actually out there trying to hurt each other, there would be no professional wrestling. The business would be dead. It would be gone, because there would be nobody left. What we do is we work a match, and it goes on to the next week and the next week and the next week, and you keep building on that every single week, day, month.
So the story gets added to?
The story gets added to it, and there's just so many different levels that you can carry it on to. It's kind of like a flower. It blooms and it gets bigger and bigger, and you know, finally the flower can't go anymore, so you start with something new, and just before that ends. So
one of the things that you also do in pro wrestling is you have characters that are in this play. So talk about your character, Chris Curtis.
My main thing, I was the heel. I was the villain. It came natural to me, because when I was a kid, for whatever reason, I was always obnoxious and getting into trouble. Not serious trouble, but just obnoxious trouble. And I would go out in the ring and bait the crowd, do whatever I could to get them riled up. And while I was working the baby face, the good guy, a heel is out there to make the baby face look strong. We're basically the weaker, and so that's why we resort to cheating and underhanded tactics, because we can't legitimately overtake them. So many times too, the good guy, the baby face, would be the very muscular, stronger, better looking, that type of thing, the more athletic, where a heel was not as built as they were, but we still are very good athletes. Our job was to get the ire of the crowd.
Well, I've looked at some of the pictures in the book, and I have to say, you know, in your younger days, you could have certainly been a baby face if you'd wanted to. You look sort of angelic with your curly hair. You know, you had just like these nice expressions and everything. Mm-hmm. So did you use that to make people think you were something different than the heel that you were in this character?
You know, I never really thought about that. I just went out there and I was just being me. And I never over-exaggerated because people can sense that. That's the way the business is nowadays. You get a lot of guys, they over-exaggerate their mannerisms. I never did that. I just went out there and did what I had to do. And you just, you know, I could just look at somebody and really tick them off. So it was a thing where I guess I just used my natural good looks to tick off people.
And you also, one of the things that was just, I have to say, I sort of shuddered as I was reading the book, was the list of injuries that you sustained doing all of this, doing your job as the job man and making these guys look good. My goodness, rotator cuff, knees, concussion, what else?
I broke my hand. I tore my rotator cuff wrestling Victor the Bear. That was before I got into wrestling. I would have to tape my knees up. I probably dislocated my kneecaps completely at least a dozen times. I bruised my kidneys, had a couple concussions, split my head open probably a dozen times, that kind of stuff.
And is that typical for anyone who's in this business?
More often than not, it's usually knee injuries or hip injuries. A lot of the old timers now, they've had hip replacements, knee replacements. They've had their discs in their back fused. A lot of them are in wheelchairs, walkers. I'm lucky. I didn't end up like that. But those guys also wrestled 7,000 to 10,000 matches throughout their career, and they were in the business 35 to 40 years. So they did it full time. I did it part time. So 700 matches to 800 matches is still a lot. But I'm still pretty healthy. My knees are bad. They're getting a little worse now. So, but you had to go out there. You had no choice. If you didn't work, you didn't get paid. So if you hurt, you had to deal with it.
How did you train and learn how to do the falls and how to do the kinds of things you did in the ring to not really hurt each other, but to make it look like you were?
I actually went to a training camp for about 3 months down in a, used to be a little pool room on 2nd off of National. Guy had a ring set up. And we learned how to work holds. We learned how to fall correctly without hurting ourselves. We learned how to flip, learn how to go over the top rope, that kind of thing. The most important part about falling is tucking your head, protecting the back of your head. And so you do this continually 5 days a week over a three-month period, and that's what I did. Then you learn how to work a match and so forth. It's all on-the-job training. But yeah, it takes a long time to make sure that you know how to fall, because you land the wrong way, especially on your neck or the back of your head, and you could be crippled for life.
Yeah, or die.
It's happened.
Yeah.
So.
Now, when you talk about, you know, working a match, in the book you talked about meeting up with the superstars that you were jobbing for and talking about what you were going to do. Was that always the case? You talk ahead of time and like, okay, this is the story and this is how we're going to do it. You knew the moves and that sort of thing?
Yeah. A good example would be like Greg Gagne. I wrestled Greg in the AWA probably a couple dozen times. Basically what you would do, and I'm using him as an example, you meet up beforehand. They tell you how many minutes you're going to go. You might go 10 to 12 minutes. You work out possibly a beginning, what you're going to do, a couple of high spots. And a high spot, Bonnie, is when you see the guys hit the ropes back and forth, that's called a high spot. And then you always come up with a finish. You don't want to go over too much because the crowd might not be buying what you're doing. So the heel, which would be me, we would always, you know, if I had to improvise, I would do that. The heel always called the match in the ring. So if you have the guy in a headlock, basically you're almost a ventriloquist because you talk to the guy and you try not to move your lips. And so you basically go over everything and you see how the crowd reacts. But yeah, you always come up with a little something beforehand. Sometimes there were situations where if you were in a certain town, and you had a babyface dressing room and a heel dressing room that was completely on the opposite side of the auditorium or whatever the case may be, you called everything in the ring. And so that was it. The finish, what would happen would be usually the referee would give you the finish when you get in the ring while you're waiting for the other guy, because the booker of the territory would give the referee the finish, and then from there you would just work something out in there.
To get to that finish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then we would call it. So it's not as easy as it looks. You got to make sure that it comes off right. Otherwise, if it falls apart, it's not a good situation.
Well, not only do you have to, you know, make a scenario that works for the two of you, but you've got to get the crowd believing you too.
Correct. And there's certain things that you also do. You have different matches in the card. You have the opener, and you have an added attraction and a special attraction and a semifinal and a main event. You're not going to give everybody everything in an opening match. I worked a lot of opening matches, and I loved it because it's my job, it's our job to get the crowd warmed up. So you're going to give them a few things, and then the next match will give them a little bit more, and then the match after that's going to give them more, and then the main event gives them pretty much everything. So it's all a matter of what they're going to buy.
But that's your skill. I mean, you have to be able to turn on a dime.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You cannot be afraid of the audience. You have to be in control of the crowd. If you're not in control of the crowd, you're going to freeze up and it's going to be a disaster. Being a heel, we have a different personality than the good guy, the babyface. We have to go in there with that devil-may-care personality that I'm in charge, you're not, and that's that. And you're going to buy what we're doing, and if they don't like it, I'm going to get on the audience, and they might start responding, but we're the ones who control everything.
Villains are always more fun to play.
Oh, yeah. I was a natural. I mean, I've worked as a babyface before. It's okay, but that's not me. I'm the antagonist. That's what I like the best. So when I have a 85-year-old lady with thick glasses flipping me off and telling me how much she hates me, and you know that...
You've won.
Exactly.
Yeah, you made it. Mm-hmm. Now that you are retired from this...
Yes, for 10 years.
How do you stay in touch with it? Do you?
No.
So you're really kind of...
I don't watch it anymore. The business has changed so much from what it used to be. I want nothing to do with what's going on out there today. It's too soap opera-like. It's not even wrestling anymore. It's more glorified bodybuilders, combination gymnasts. I mean, they're great athletes, don't get me wrong, but it's not wrestling. It's not like it used to be.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit of your very colorful past with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Chris Malterer, known to wrestling fans as Chris Curtis, is the author of Job Man, My 25 Years in Professional Wrestling, co-written by local author Larry Wyden. Our interview first aired in 2014.